We present Meeting B by Eric Pringle, with Stephanie Cole as Beatrix Potter and Clive Swift as William Helis. Where to begin?
Please,
how to bring her back?
Please.
What is it, Mary?
Please, miss, I don't know what to draw.
Draw something real. She taught me that.
Beatrix Potter?
Yeah. Draw your own world, she said.
Can I draw you?
If you like. I'll try to sit still.
Thanks, Miss Warboy. I'll draw me teacher. Put her on a piece of paper.
And I'll do the same with mine. Recollections of Beatrix Potter by Sally Warboys, art teacher. I'm setting this down because my children keep asking me about the author of the famous Little Books for Little Hands. Because I met her once. I knew her for a short time. So I shall set down what I remember and... remember. How could I forget? It's odd, but when I think of her, I think of her at that country dance in December 1927. I remember the game she played with the American publisher and me, and the way she leaned back against the wall in her ridiculous hat, those shrewd eyes watching us prancing, weighing us up like beasts at a sale. And I remember how she fought that farmer. Oh, she enjoyed fighting, and she liked winning. Well, how could I ever forget her? She changed my life. I wasn't a teacher then. I was young and desperate, working in the Lancaster mill. And she was different too. Not at all what I'd expected. Didn't expect a wrinkled, rolly body clapping in clogs down a Lake District lane, looking like Mrs. Tiggywinkle. I never expected giggling bland in a skirt. Though when I first saw her, she looked more like Jeremy Fisher, perched on a rock beside Moss Eccles Tarn on that soft December afternoon. She was writing a letter while her husband William fished for trout. I'd gone especially. I made our works out in Sharaban stop at Sony so I could find it. I was looking for the key to eternal youth, and I thought that if anybody had it, it would be her. I wanted all their secrets. I wanted to look inside her the way she'd looked inside her rabbit when she was a girl. So I sat on the hillside and stared down at her, dying to know what she was writing, who she was writing to, what she was thinking, what she was imagining.
As I walked by myself, I talked to myself, and myself said unto me...
I sat down to read the tale of Piglin Bland and watch and wait for it to move. And that was the beginning of it. Once upon a time, there was an old pig called Aunt Pettitoes. She had 8 of the family. 4 little girl pigs called Crosspatch, Suck-Suck, Yop-Yop and Spot. And 4 little boy pigs called Alexander, Piglin Bland, Chin-Chin and Stumpy. Stumpy had had an accident to his tail.
As I walked by myself and talked to myself.
Got him, B!
You took your time, Willie Helis. I thought you were an expert.
He was a worthy adversary. Look at the size of him. The fish are growing, thank God.
Thank us. We put them there. The lilies, too. Oof. It's turning cold. I'm off.
5 minutes, eh? One more cast. Finish your letter.
5 minutes.
December 1927, my dear Maud. I'm happy that you enjoyed your visit to Sori. So are Charles the Cockerel and Nip the Collie and all the animals you made friends with when you were here. Do you remember Moss Eccles Tarn? Today has been so mild that Uncle William and I walked up from Castle Cottage to take one last look before the bad weather comes. When it does arrive, we shall be all right. The barns are full of hay, the lambs are sold, and everything is quiet for the winter. 2 Americans from Boston came here a while ago. and Mr. Coolidge and her son Henry P., who is about your age. I think he hoped to find Peter Rabbit and Ginger and Pickles and even nasty old Mr. Todd wandering about the sorry lanes. He didn't, of course. But when I showed him some pictures I'd made for story backgrounds and never used, he was delighted. Americans are so enthusiastic. He wanted me to use the pictures in a story about guinea pigs. Even sent me two of the creatures from Harrods. But I'm written out. And painted out. I'm a farmer now.
Willie? Willie?
Back the man rose as slowly as he grinds the law. As slowly as I write nowadays. We're getting old. When I started, it was all so different.
Miss Potter, the Peter Rabbit story is charming. With coloured illustrations, I'm sure it will appeal. Frederick Warne and Company would be happy to publish it.
That is kind, Mr. Warne. Though it is a pity I had to print it myself to convince you.
We have to be careful. But I hope you will call me Norman. I shall be your editor. We may see each other a great deal.
We did, didn't we, Norman? We became friends. I needed a friend.
I wanted to be more Beattie. I wanted you to be Mrs. Norman Warren, not Beatrix Potter, not Felix.
Then you shouldn't have died. If you hadn't died, everything would have been different. Now she's dead too, and I'm out of tune and cross and 61 years old. Oh, you should see me, Norman, an old sheep wandering the fells. Tramps think I'm one of them. You wouldn't recognize me.
Yes, I would.
Perhaps you would.
And you'll never forget me.
You died in 1905. I was 39 and never been... It's 1927 now. Everything's changed. I'm married to a solicitor and I don't write stories anymore, so be quiet.
All right. But turning your back doesn't make the past go away. I'm still part of your life. Sir Peter Rabbit, Jeremy Fisher, and Tom Kitten, and Piglin Bland, and Benjamin Bunny, and Samuel Whiskers, and Squiddle Nutkin.
Shut up! I hate them. Go away, Norman.
Talking to yourself again, Dee.
Willie! I thought you were fishing.
I was. I moored the boat. Here's dinner.
Ugh, smells. But just let me finish this letter and I'll catch you up.
Don't be long, or you'll catch cold.
Maud, the damp is rising. December afternoons should be for old brown owl, not an elderly sheep whose joints have started to creak. Let us hope for a mild winter, because up here in the north, the weather can rage even worse than your affectionate Beatrix Peelis.
She closed her letter and set off, grunting like old Aunt Pettitoes, racketing down the track in her clogs as she hurried to catch William. I ran to head them off.
Are you happy, Bee?
Oh, that's a question.
If you don't answer it, you must miss London.
What's this about, Willie?
I wonder sometimes.
You never show wonder. You never show anything. You shut yourself away in that office in Hawkshead every day of the week, trot off shooting and fishing at weekends like a regular country gent. All you show is contentment.
You sound like a cow.
Perhaps an old bull with his horns chopped off. Solid and reliable, Mr. Healis. That's what your clients want of a solicitor. It's what I need.
So you tell me. It's hardly dynamic.
I'll supply the dynamism. Stop wondering, Willie. You know I hated London. We'd been married 14 years, for heaven's sake. My life is here.
Your land is here, and your sheep.
And you, old bull.
I waited beside a gate, pretending to read. I saw them coming down the track. They looked so easy together. But I felt sick. I was so excited. And four little boy pigs called Alexander, Piglin Bland, Chin Chin, and... Stumpy had had
that. A pound says that girl's waiting for you.
Oh, not another. She'll be one of those factory trippers from Lancashire that come by the charabanc full. It drives me mad.
Be gentle with her.
I'll be what I like. This is my property.
Miss Potter! Beatrix Potter!
Oh, God in heaven.
Now be.
Or let me open the gate for you.
See that, young woman?
Yes.
That's a wedding ring. Mrs. Healy's wedding ring.
What a claim, especially.
Just push off. Go on, scat.
I wanted to cry.
She looks as if you'd hit her in the face.
Stop her gawping. I was right, wasn't I, Lancashire? Oh, look at this lot. Busload of nosy parkers.
It's the price of fame.
I never wanted fame, and I won't have this. Get off home!
Get there! Right back, old fat!
Once upon a time, there was an old pig called Aunt Pettitoes. Pettitoes. Pottitoes. Potter-toes.
Nero! Driver, would you take these women away? They're disturbing my wife.
Do you wonder I don't like people?
That girl is following us.
Is she? I'll sort her out.
She doesn't know you want to be a hermit, Bee.
Go home, Willie.
All right, but remember your own youth.
Be kind, Beatty.
Shut up, Norman. Nobody was kind to me. What are you gawping at, girl?
I'm sorry about my friends. They're cheeky, but they don't know who you are.
They're not supposed to. Your Shanabar's gone.
I stayed behind to talk to you.
I won't talk to you.
My mum read the books to me when I was little. They're the first things I remember. Tale of Peter Rabbit, Tale of Squirrel Nutkin, Jeremy Fisher. For years I went to sleep with those animals in my head.
I don't want to hear about it.
I don't see why. Your books entered my imagination, and through them I entered yours.
Go away.
I'm Sally Warboys.
Goodbye, Sally Warboys.
Please talk to me.
What does it take to get rid of you? What do you want?
To be like you.
Whatever for?
I can write, I can paint, but I can't put them together like you. I want you to teach me how.
Oh. Is that all?
I want to do to others what you did to me. I want to make dreams.
You have to be a child yourself.
I am.
How old are you?
21.
Then grow up.
You told me to be a child.
You have to be both. Do you work?
At the mill, but not for long.
Why not? It's honest toil.
It's graft. I hate it.
Look at me. Look at these hands. This face. That's graft. Rain and graft. Wind and graft. It isn't Jemima Puddle Duck.
I want you to teach me.
You want to climb out of the mill on my back? You've got a nerve.
You have a responsibility.
I deny responsibility.
You started me off. Help me finish. Please.
Here. Miss. Go. Come here. Go. Come on.
Thanks for nothing, Mrs. Feely.
Who do these people think they are? Oh, that's my slippers. Nip, come here, come on. Oh, bother the girl.
Is that you?
Who else?
Mary wanted to know about making tea.
Oh, she can.
She's in the kitchen. Will you tell her? Is everything all right?
No, it is not.
What have you got this time, Bee?
Rabbit?
There isn't room for any more rabbits.
There is, if I say there is. I'm going to draw it.
Hmm.
And when it dies, I'm going to take it to pieces.
And call it inside. That's disgusting. If Mother and Father find out...
If you tell them, Bertie Potter, it will be the worse for you.
I won't. I'll tell Miss Cameron. She'll scream. No more governesses.
No more teachers.
No more nannies.
I prefer animals.
There will be trouble, you know.
Can I help it if our parents are stodgy?
In the
got a sweet little hotel here, mister.
Aye, we think so.
Old-fashioned, but real British. And the Tower Bank Arms is a real British name.
British as Mrs. Tiggy Winkle, am I right?
I suppose.
Sure, I'm right.
Mr. McKay, is that?
Call the Alexander.
Your room's ready.
Facing Hilltop Farm, right?
Aye.
Can I ask why you wanted that?
You may not.
Please pass me the register.
Can I have my key, please? Is my room ready yet?
It is. There you are, Miss Wolfright.
And I left my case with you.
Everything all right, Alexander?
Everything in the world. There we are, signed and sealed.
Oh, Alexander McKay, Philadelphia, mm-hmm. USA. What's Philadelphia like?
American. Good day to you, young lady.
I wish it was.
I guess we're both voyagers, right? Ships passing through Lakeland.
Are we?
Here's your case, Miss Warboys. And your key, Alexander.
Thank you.
You're next to each other.
Oh, great. Let me carry that.
But there's no need.
Oh, sure there is. We're neighbors, and the exercise is good for me. Oh, you'll be looking out at Hilltop Farm, you know.
God, will I?
To Mr. Fruing Warne, Frederick Warne, Publishers. Dear Mr. Warne, the latest proofs are disappointing. Something radical must be done to improve the proportions between words and pictures. I will try to think of a way if you cannot, but I will not allow this to appear as it stands. Strange how a letter from your firm can bring back the nightmare after all these years. Not your fault. But I cannot help recalling how things were at first, when this was all new to me, and your brother guided me through the publishing maze. I count myself a realist about the progress of time, but things happen to put one out of sorts, and then the memories invade. So I come here to my old house at Hilltop to be alone with myself and escape the annoyances of people. That is probably a mistake, because it is when I am labouring among the hills that I am happiest. Incidentally, it's no use pressing me for another book to maintain my popularity with a modern child. I have never cared tuppence for popularity, and I care even less for the modern child, who is pampered and spoilt. You will see that I am getting more obstinate as I grow older. Besides, things I begin nowadays are quickly tossed aside. My eyes make drawing in colour very difficult, and the almanac was a strain from start to finish. Damn!
Story! What's the matter?
Mrs. Eris, you asked me to let you know when yon beast was out of town.
Lucy?
Aye, Lucy. She started. Can maybe you're a mucking a song and dance.
Will she be all right?
Oh, aye. She's just scared at being a first. She needs watching. Well, I have to get over Oxford with a cart.
It will soon be dark.
I can see in the dark.
Go on. I'll see to Lucy.
Here's another thing. You've got a visitor.
Where?
Coming up path.
We'll both clear off. Come on, they'll go away.
I thought you'd say that. Get up, Mayor. Get up.
Hey, you on the cart. Say, lady.
Now, Lucy, what's all this noise, It's all right. She'll be all right. What do I know about it?
Is it okay to come on in?
Good God, an American.
Name's McKay. Alexander McKay. My card. Have I the pleasure of talking to Miss Beatrix Potter?
You have not. Don't you knock?
I knock, but your cow is
noisy. Will you bring the lamp? Look, that one on the wall. Oh, you look like a ghost.
No, see? Real flesh and blood. I'm harmless.
Yes, I'm not so sure about that. You always burst in on people.
If it gives me an advantage. Is this lady in trouble? Or...
She's carving.
Well, let me help.
Do you know how?
I have cousins on a farm in Illinois. I practically grew up with them. There, but for the grace of God.
Well, roll up your sleeves, Mr. McKay.
Yes, ma'am. Easy, girl.
Bull, man!
Oh, I guess I'm going, Miss Potter.
Mrs. Healist.
It's coming. Good girl.
You want me?
You too.
No!
Brain.
Oh, wasn't that exciting, Mr. McKay?
Call me Alexander.
David McKay, book publishers.
Mm-hmm. I guess you can guess what I've come about.
I already have a publisher.
A new book.
You're joking.
Any joke is on me. If somebody had told me, Alexander, when you meet the famous Beatrix Potter, she'll have her hand up a cow's backside. Well,
That's the way I am. Take it or leave it.
Oh, I'll take it. We love you. Those little books just sell and sell in the States.
Do they?
Sell and sell. Timmy Tiptoes.
What?
Another Timmy Tiptoes for your adoring American public. They're waiting for his cousin. You can't deny them.
Mr. McKay, are you all right?
Published by David McKay of Philadelphia.
I've told you, I have a publisher.
A book just for America. Selling and selling. What do you say?
Nope.
I'm sure we'll come to satisfactory terms.
Nope.
For Timmy's cousin. They're waiting for him in Texas, New Orleans.
Are you hard of hearing, Mr. McKay?
Oh, I hear well enough, but sometimes I don't pay attention.
Well, you'd better. I'm far too busy.
Oh, you're a challenge, Mrs. Hewis.
You're alarming, Mr. McKay.
I'll leave you to your newborn babe, but think about it. I'll come back tomorrow.
No, you mustn't.
And there's 100 English pounds on account.
On account of what?
Timmy's cousin.
Take it away.
It's money on the table. I'll see you tomorrow, Mrs. Hewis.
But Mr. McKay.
Alexander, look, we've been through a birth together. I hope we'll be midwives again soon to Timmy Tiptoes' cousin.
Don't you give up!
You?
10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 pounds. Good Lord. Timmy's Tiptoe's cousin. Squirrels. Once upon a time, there was a little, fat, comfortable gray squirrel called Timmy Tiptoes. He had a nest thatched with leaves in the top of a tall tree, and he had a little squirrel wife called Goody. Rubbish. Animals are animals are animals are animals. They don't have names, they don't speak. Twoggle!
Beatrix Potter, will you marry me?
Don't be ridiculous, Norman. It's all over and done with. Go back to sleep.
How did you do it, Mr. McKay?
I grasped an opportunity, Sally, and a cow's tail.
Is that what I have to do?
Why do you want to?
I want to see what her life's like, what her mind's like. I want to know how she thinks.
Well, you get full marks for trying with Mrs. Healers.
I know what you mean. But why do you?
Money.
Money?
I'm a businessman, and she's a businesswoman. Whatever she says, she'll come to terms. You wait and see. Slam tastes like a boot.
It's probably one of hers.
That girl, Willie. She reminded me of me.
Did you think you were unique?
Yes. Yes, I did.
What are you doing?
Looking at Hilltop.
Well, you can't see it. It's dark.
It used to be dark. My first farm. My first land. Hilltop was my escape, my independence. It was full of life and light and people and animals.
And mice and rats.
Samuel Whiskers. So we got cats.
And you put them in books. Tabitha Twitchit, Tom Kitten, Miss Muffet. We could live at Hilltop if you want to. You know that. Then there'd be candles and oil lamps in the window.
No. No, it would be changed. I want Hilltop to stay as it was. Just the way it was in the beginning.
He isn't coming, Dee. He'd never have come to Hilltop. He was a Londoner.
I was a Londoner.
But he wasn't a Londoner like you. He was a Londoner like your mother.
Oh, God in heaven. She'll be here in a few hours.
Beatrix! Beatrix! Coming!
Good morning, Mother.
Look at the state of you.
I always look like this.
That is not an achievement. Help me down.
Your man helps you down.
He's useless. You stole my footman.
Walter is my chauffeur now.
He was my footman.
Oh, come on, then.
Gently. You know finesse. Mind that heat.
It is just a cowpat.
Din together. How I regret the pavements of London. I wish I was back at Bolton Gardens.
No, you don't.
I don't like the look of you, Beatrix. I don't like farms.
Well, you don't like William either, do you?
At least he polishes his shoe.
Sit down, Mother. Mary will bring tea.
You can't be certain. Servants up here are beyond belief.
Yes, Mother.
I had a good footman once.
Don't keep on.
You should have had children. They care for you better than servants, though mine never did.
Parents should care for their children.
What's that? Speak up, girl. You know I can't hear when you mumble.
When did you or father care for your children? When did you pay attention to me?
What did you say?
Children should neither be seen nor heard. So stick the girl at the top of the house. Keep her in the schoolroom. Make her secretive, deceitful. Drive her deeper and deeper into her diary and her drawing.
What?
Drive her into herself.
I say, that doesn't half smell. We have to boil all the flesh off the legs so we can see the bone structure.
But it's going to get for a week rotting in the frost.
I had to wait until it was safe. Until Mother and Father.
What are you doing with that knife?
Cutting it inside out.
That's disgusting.
It's just a dead rabbit. But I'm pretending that it's Mother.
Animals are animals.
What's that stench?
We have sheepskins drying in the cellar. That's the flesh shriveling.
Oh, this really is an abhorrent place. Remind me not to come again.
Promises.
You're mumbling on purpose, aren't you? Your father and I hoped for a dutiful daughter.
What do you think you've got?
There is no need to shout, Beatrix. Ever since you associated with that publisher, that tradesman, you've deteriorated down and down and down. Books. Farmyard.
Leave Norman out of it.
You'll never get over him, will you? It's time you grew up.
I'm 61. How grown up?
That is not the same thing.
Mary! Where's the blasted tea?
Miss Potter?
Mr. Warren?
You need models for the pictures for the Tale of Two Bad Mice.
I do.
I will send you some dolls.
That would be kind.
I will make you furniture for the doll's house.
You are kind.
It isn't kindness.
I'm not accustomed to kindness.
It isn't kindness.
Mr. Warren?
I have another suggestion. For the doll's house, you shall use the one I made for my niece, Winifred.
But that is in Surbiton.
Yes.
I would have to come to your family's house at Surbiton to draw it.
Yes.
But I hardly ever go out. My mother would never allow it.
Forgive me for saying so, Miss Potter, but you are over 21.
I'm 17 years over 21, but that makes no difference. You don't know the kind of life I live. You don't know my parents.
Bring Mrs. Potter with you.
She wouldn't come. She is very disagreeable.
Then what is the answer?
Mr. Warren, you are perplexing me.
Beatrix.
Mr. McKay, who's that behind you?
I understand you've already met this young lady.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Healy.
Tell her to go away.
Miss Warboys wants
to... I know what she wants, and she isn't going to get it.
We'll talk to him, though, because he's rich and a publisher.
Rubbish. I'll talk to Mr. McKay because he's an American. I like Americans. They're enthusiastic and they treat the book seriously as literature. They don't come here out of impertinent curiosity like the British. They don't expect me to change their lives.
All right. I'll get what I want another way. I'll make my own inquiry.
The great detective.
I shall find out what makes you tick, whether you like it or not.
I know what makes me tick. I wind myself up.
Mr. McKay.
You're very forthright.
Swallowing one's feelings out of consideration for others is tiresome, so I don't do it.
That makes you a daunting person.
It makes me a private person. You must forgive me. I have a dread of strangers.
I see.
I'm sure you don't. As a child, I was shut away and I saw no other children except my younger brother. I grew up hardly knowing anybody. Even in my 20s, my father wouldn't introduce me to people we met out of doors. I was given the impression I wasn't presentable.
That's a great shame.
It wasn't until I... Can I help you?
I've come for your answer.
The answer is no.
So there is to be a new Timmy Tiptoes.
Did you hear me? I said
Beatrix, no. I've come for a positive answer. I won't go away until I get it.
Mr. McKay, you are impossible.
People say I'm irresistible.
Well, I am immovable. Come with me. I'll show you why. I'll show you what matters to me nowadays. Sheep, Mr. McKay. Bring them round, Story. These are Herdwicks, the true Lakeland breed.
They're pretty.
Pretty? Look at this chap, how hard and big-boned he is. Look at his powerful legs and those fine horns, that grand mane. He's strong, noble, not pretty.
Wrong word. I'll leave the right words to Beatrix Potter.
He's win prizes, you know, mister. Mrs. Lark's winning prizes. He's as a dog with two tails when they give her a hook.
I don't know what I expected to find around Sawyer's. I went everywhere in that little whitewashed place. I poked up alleys, peered into gardens. I glared at it, hating her. And then suddenly, I could see her, as she was years ago. Beatrix Potter, with sketch pad and easel, drawing these cottage fronts, these chimneys, these flowers, these fields, these cats and dogs and ducks and cows, and this shop. It was all there. I recognised it from the books. It was real. And I saw that that was part of her secret. The reality of this place had propped up the pretending. What Beatrix Potter had was a way of seeing. I thought, I have to find that. But how?
Excuse me, is this the shop in the Tale of Ginger and Pickles?
Hey, if I had a pound for every time I've been asked that.
Well, Mrs. Healis won't tell me.
Mrs. Healis won't tell you the time of day. Nibbling away like one of them mice in her books.
Nibbling?
Nibbling at us. At our cottages, our land. Acre after acre, farm after farm, eating up with money from them daft books.
But the stories are so lovely.
Lovely? I ask you, do I look like a cat?
Here's another reason you won't get a book. This, all this, is my land, Mr. McKay. All these fields and woods going right over the hill to Moss Eccles Tarn.
It's beautiful.
It's space and freedom. You know, I was 28 before I was allowed to leave that house unaccompanied. Prison, that's what London was to me. You've no idea how I longed to be my own person, go my own way.
Like Jemima Puddle Duck.
Yes, like Jemima. I worked for it. I studied and drew and... I disapproved of every enterprise. Wasn't genteel. So I worked in secret up in that room with pets hidden in boxes and a diary and code.
You wrote in code?
I needed to express myself somehow. But everything had to be secret. Everything hidden. Everything enclosed inside those walls. I was 36 years old before I published The Tale of Peter Rabbit and struck my blow for freedom. 11 years later, I married my solicitor, and that was the end of that and the beginning of this. Do you know what I'm saying?
Not exactly.
11 years. That's all. Those books occupied just over a decade of my life. Such a small part.
But what a part.
Oh, it got me out of London. I spread my wings in Sawyer.
She should mind her own flaming business.
Think she owns all flaming place.
Maybe she's taking an interest in local affairs.
Stopped us having fish and chip shop, the bugger.
I've come her telling us what to do. She can get away back to London.
But I don't understand this at all.
No more do we, lass.
When I came here, I was writing 2 books a year. I buried myself in books. I got so I couldn't stop. Even my letters were spattered with drawings. And then it happened.
What happened?
Well, at first, coming to the Fells was simply escaping from London and from, well, other things. Then one day, I realized this place had become vital to me for itself. Rain, wind, snow, dawn, dust, oh, everything. So I bought more land, then more land, animals and more animals, hilltop and castle cottage. The 2 books a year dropped to 1, and then it was women. And suddenly I didn't have time for any books at all. I didn't need books anymore.
You're sure about that? Why, the inspiration you found at Hilltop, you must still think about it.
I do think about it.
I knew it.
You don't know what I think about it. But I think at Hilltop, nobody knows.
And there it is, just across the valley.
Look at Hilltop, dear.
I look at it every day. It's a cemetery. Come on, I'll show you. Then perhaps you'll give this a rest. You want an hour, both Mrs. Haylis?
Please.
Calls herself farmer.
How can she be farmer? There's note about it. Animals are pets to her. It's Tom Storyrun's farm.
Is it?
Stands to reason.
Here we are.
It's a sweet place.
It's a holy place.
I understand.
I don't know why I brought you here. I don't know why I'm telling you these things. I tell no one else.
Because I'm the only one who won't take no for an answer.
Perhaps. Let's go in.
After you, Beatrix?
Yes. After Beatrix. Here she is.
Who?
Beatrix Potter.
It was weird, Alexander said. They'd walked into a farmhouse kitchen with a table laid, and it looked as if Beatrix Potter still lived there. He said it felt as if she lived there. He expected her to walk in at any moment, except that grey dust had settled over everything, and cobwebs clung, and the clock had stopped. And she was standing right beside him.
Why, I recognize this room from the books. That old range, and this dresser, and the clock.
I bought Hilltop Farm 22 years and 1 month ago, in November 1905. 7 weeks after my fiancé had died.
I didn't know that.
I was 39 years old.
So Hilltop was a refuge?
It was a sanctuary. I came as often as I could, each time for a little longer, slowly loosening the bonds that tied me to London.
But Hilltop was an inspiration, too, wasn't it? Why, the books that poured out of this house, the dreaming that went on here, the visions, the creative energy that erupted in this very room. Up those stairs, out in that garden.
Mr. McKay, you're carrying yourself away.
The animals that came in one by one. Jemima Puddle Duck and Tom Kitten and Jeremy Fisher and Samuel Whiskers and Pigling Bland and Timmy Willie.
And Uncle Tom Cobbley and all. Yes, yes, they did, but suddenly... Well, look around you.
It feels like a shrine.
When William asked me to marry him, I said, yes, but we can't live at Hilltop. Everything here must stay as it is. And after we married, I simply locked the door and left.
And that was the end of that?
And the beginning of something else.
But Beatrix Potter is...
died here. R.I.P.
I can't believe it.
I buried her myself.
If you did, her spirit is still abroad.
She's queer, lass.
Queer?
Queerest biddy I ever set eyes on. And she's that domineering. I feel sorry for that man she lives with. I feel sorry for us who lives in the same village.
You make her sound like a witch.
Mrs. Ealis is a witch. But Willie Ealis is a gentleman.
Say, isn't this the doll's house furniture from the Tale of Two Bad Mice?
Yes, yes it is. My publisher made it for me.
And you've kept it all this time?
All this time. Not now, Norman.
Such fragile pieces. And the book is so solid. That's your genius, you know. To make fantastic things real. Why, in each of those stories, a fantasy world comes alive.
It's all dead now.
The doll's house, really. Our house.
For heaven's sake, Norman.
It only needs a little breath to give it life again.
Is that all?
One puff can bring it back.
Norman, too.
I promise you. Believe it. And Timmy Willie will have an American cousin.
I haven't written a book for years, Mr. McKay. I've forgotten how to do it.
Oh, you never forget.
I can't see to paint properly.
Oh, you can. Well, look at these sketches.
Look, you don't know what a scramble I live in. I am a farmer now.
You're a writer. You're an artist. One of the greatest. Beatrice, have you any idea how many children see the world through your eyes? Why, that girl says...
I don't see like that anymore.
And I haven't come here a moment too soon.
Mr. McKay, what will it take to convince you?
A book. Can I go through to the next room?
Go away. I don't want you anymore. I don't need you anymore. Animals are animals are animals are animals. Mr. McKay!
They're still here. All those characters.
Are they?
I can feel them. I have a vision, Beatrix. Close your eyes and imagine this. The new book is out. Launched simultaneously in major cities right across America.
It can't be.
Philadelphia, Houston, Chicago, San Francisco, Memphis, Pittsburgh. And everywhere you look, there are posters and billboards of Timmy Willie's American cousin and his friend.
Mr. McKay, really?
See it? Your characters, 20, 40 feet high, striding the horizon, filling wall-to-wall the imagination of the children of America. And all those children with their innocence and wide eyes are open pages on which you, Beatrix, are writing, drawing, painting. That's power, isn't it? To make them see what you see, feel as you feel, think what is in your mind. Hold that vision for the rest of their lives. That's literature. That's art.
Alexander, for heaven's sake, they are only little folks.
That modesty doesn't fool me.
Don't you ever doubt yourself.
Never. Doubt weakens your position. It bores into your mind like a weevil and eats up your strength. I won't give that weevil house room. If you want something, go for it.
What if I say those books mean nothing to me?
Then I say buying land sure does. And we negotiate a simple deal. Books for land.
Oh, you have an answer for everything.
You call me Alexander.
It was the only way to stop you.
Nothing stops me.
I'm sick to death of rabbits.
Then write something different. A real book.
A real book? There's an estate near Coniston coming up for sale. My great-grandfather had land there. I've always longed to buy it back. Now the estate will be broken up. Developers will move in.
You can stop it happening.
Will you dine with us tonight?
I'd love to.
Then we'll go dancing.
Dancing? Wow.
I fancy you'll learn something about us Lakelanders. Come at 7.
May I bring a partner?
You may. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to be alone here for a while.
Oh, sure. Think about what I said, Beatrix. Let Hilltop convince you. It's talking to you.
Oh, I hear it. Norman... Norman, what's happening?
Oh, freezing.
What a night. Look at the stars. And that moon rising over the hill. Beautiful.
Oh, listen to that owl. Old Brown Owl had Squirrel Nutkin's tail. Mrs. Healis is like Old Brown Owl. She'll have my scalp.
She doesn't like intruders, that's all. I guess we make her feel uneasy.
Hate her. All my life I've worshipped her, but now... It's as if she switched off her light. It's gone dark and I don't know which way to turn.
Well, how do you think she feels, Sally? Childhood is like dreaming. You
grow up out of one like you wake up out of the other. It's a terrible loss, and I reckon her loss is greater than anybody's because her childhood was so intense and lasted so long.
Are you asking me to feel sorry for her?
No, just to understand her.
Oh, I understand her. People are sorry, understand her. She's a witch. She's turned like the villains in her books.
You're just scared.
I feel like a lamb going to the slaughter.
And here's the slaughterhouse. Meet my guest, Beatrix.
You again!
It took her a while to get over the shock. She called me a most persistent young woman, as if she was describing gangrene. But this time she didn't turn me away. She led us to the dining room, and I noticed she'd changed her hat for a white mob cap, edged with lace. But she still looked a mess. The first thing I noticed in the dining room was the mantelpiece. Shining with silver trophies.
Oh, look at the cups.
My sheep won those.
Oh, look how they shine.
You're still a child.
I was. Yesterday.
Come and meet my husband. William, turn the wireless off. This is Mr. McKay from Philadelphia.
Sir.
And this is his guest.
Hello. The room was a muddle. Half of the big table was covered with newspaper and an inkpot, pen, paint box, drawing paper, breadboard and cheese dish. The other half was laid for dinner, with a white damask cloth and Chippendale chairs. The room was stuffed with old furniture. Things were strewn about. And there was William. He stood up to meet us, rumpled and gentle with kind eyes. He bowed to me and kissed my hand.
It's a pleasure to meet you properly, Miss Warboys, and not just over a gate.
She'll be a new partner for you, Willie. I hope you can dance, young woman.
Well, I like dancing.
Oh, good. Sit beside me at dinner and we'll talk about it. And what do you do in your mill, Miss Warboys?
I work in the office, but I'm training.
My grandfather owned a mill.
Oh, that's rather different.
My grandfather died in the mill. It was crushed by a machine because it wasn't guarded properly.
I'm sorry to hear it.
Well, after that, my dad had to leave school to work. But because he didn't have a proper education, the only work he could get was cleaning the mill, polishing the machines that killed his dad.
Jesus.
It's an unfair world, Mr. McKay.
People make it worse, B.
So, we've always been poor, lived in those dingy streets. But I...
Yes?
I lived in your books. I grew up in the countryside of your pictures, with those creatures and the colours and smells and tastes. I gobbled them up. My mum scrimped to buy them for me. Couldn't wait for the next one.
They were an escape.
Yes.
Escaping takes such a long time. So, what are you going to do with your life?
I'm studying art, training to be a teacher. But really, I want to be like you.
Nobody in their right mind would want to be like me. More pork, Mr. McKay? We go our own ways, William and I. I do battle with pigs, William with the law. I keep him in bacon and he keeps me legal.
With difficulty sometimes.
It's true. I come out with guns blazing. Willie makes sure they're blanks.
Well, I guess living with a lawyer helps with those land purchases.
I don't buy land for the sake of it, you know.
Your neighbours think it's greed.
They would. They're the ones I'm fighting half the time. Yet they're the ones I'm fighting for. And their children. I want to stop a way of life being destroyed.
But you're upsetting everybody.
I fight for what I believe in. Popularity doesn't concern me.
She fights all the time, one battle after another. More tea, anybody?
You're a nostalgic, Beatrix. You're a preserver. And a bruiser.
Oh, I bruise, too. The trick is not to show it, and to return the blow with interest.
A formidable lady.
You're telling me.
Every time I began to like Mrs. Healis a little, or agree with something she said, she'd say something else to put me right off her again. Like that about preserving the natural order. Because to me that meant slums and my dad slaving, and my granddad dying because he was only a little man exploited. Preserving the natural order meant keeping the exploiters, and I wanted them all dead like in Russia. Then I saw I'd got her all wrong. She wanted to keep the hills for little people, for shepherds and small farmers and for people like me to walk on. She called it a national trust. That was what she was fighting the profiteers for, and I could agree with it. It was just the way she was herself that put you off. But maybe there were reasons for that too. Reasons why she needed to be up to her armpits in mud.
Tricks?
Yes, Father.
Publishing is strange.
If you'll listen for a moment.
How can you contemplate such a thing?
Mother, I'll soon be 40 years old.
What difference does that make? Wait till your father hears of this. A publisher of books that is great.
I shall marry Norman, whatever you say, whatever Father says.
And you've always been willful.
I shall.
Such ingratitude.
Such disobedience.
I shall.
You shall not.
Let me go.
Let's get outside into the fresh air.
Into the dancing. La 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 la.
Out we went, into her car and the moonlight. The car stank as sheep. I sat in front with Walter the chauffeur. He never said a word, but winced as each bend loomed in the headlights. He gave me the impression he'd have been happier with a horse.
We have a sorry country dance team called the Jolly Boys. William is leader. He's a great little dancer, is William.
And you, Beatrix?
Do I look like a dancer?
This is the most popular country dance in all Cumberland villages. It's the Cumberland Square Eight, so let's have the music. And it gallops down and the lion gallops across.
Oh, look, it's wonderful.
My feet are tapping.
We danced. William and Jolly Boys and Girls and teams from other villages, the people of Hawkshead and Story, I don't know where else. Farmers and solicitors and milking girls and shop assistants and Alexander and me falling over ourselves. Oh, it was lovely. Fast dancers and slow dancers and lilting dancers and mad dancers. Boatman and Black Nag and Pop Goes the Weasel and Haste to the Wedding and We Won't Go Home Until Morning. It was really lovely.
That's just the introduction. You're ready facing the other couple now, so take your position, girl. And it's forward.
Mr. Hayless! Mr. Hayless!
William was a good dancer, straight and steady and light on his feet. He led you through the dance like a chivalrous knight. And all the time, she sat in the corner, watching us, her shrewd eyes looking out under a rumpled felt hat, taking it all in, smiling, but separate. Didn't talk much to people. Seemed to be in a world of her own. That's Beatrix Hatter. And I couldn't believe it. I thought, she owns farms, hundreds of acres, thousands of sheep. Her books sell all over the world. She could look anything, do anything. But she looked a mess, and she won't tell me what I want to know. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, I'm exhausted.
Don't you right. You're not young anymore.
Oh, you're right. Let me sit down. We could dance together, Beatrix, couldn't we? We could make sweet music together.
What are you talking about?
A partnership. You and David McKay making the sweetest book that ever was born.
Well, does it sound like a marriage?
It is a kind of marriage, isn't it? Author and publisher.
Yes, it is. Oh, listen to that silly girl.
Oh, Sally's enjoying herself. She's young.
At her age, I was still shut up in Bolton Garden.
Oh, that was marvelous.
Sit down and compose yourself.
Oh, Miss
Mr. Haley, marvellous dancer.
Marvellous. Everything and everybody is marvellous.
Which is to me.
It was to me once, for a short time. Be careful. Don't set yourself up to be knocked down.
What do you think of me?
Let's dance, shall we?
What's the rush?
What do you think you're doing?
She's horrible to me.
She envies you.
She's joking.
You've got something she's lost.
I don't understand.
You're too young to understand. That's the point. Now, come on, Sally, dance.
I wish I understood her. I wish I could leave her, but she's hidden. I can't find her. And the things you say about her, it's like different people.
I like her.
But what's inside her?
We're not meant to know.
It's so frustrating.
Come on.
Oh, all right, let's dance. Marvelous!
Wait, hey!
What's going on?
What's that noise?
Mrs. Healers is having a row with somebody.
No, no.
Let's go.
Listen to them.
Don't talk rubbish, Maxton.
You tell me.
Don't talk rubbish.
You're not interested in that bit of land, by promise.
Of course I'm interested.
I knew it. Well, bloody well keep up it.
Bungalow.
I've got permission, woman.
You haven't even got the land.
Ah, I shall have it.
Over my dead body.
If necessary.
You're drunk.
How did you know about it, Mrs. Ailey? Nobody knew it was for sale except me.
You're not a farmer. You're a propertyer. You'll strip that land, then flatten it, and then...
What's it got to do with you?
I'm going to stop you.
Ah, you can't stop me.
Suppose I can stop you. I'll buy it myself.
By God, you're a greedy boogie.
What's going on, Bill?
This man is drunk, Willie.
Yes? Did you tell him?
Now, keep your temper, Matson. Told who what?
Told that bloody wife of yours about bloody pasta.
You have to fight for what you're going to do.
What kind of language I want? Instead of being about this bloody pasta. Why don't you do something about it?
Well, girl, is this wonderful?
Yes.
Stop talking and join in. You too, Mr. McKay. I told you you'd learn something tonight.
Afterwards, we drove home in a hard frost with rugs wrapped around us. Stars shone out over the black hills, and the stone walls sparkled in the headlamps. Walter worried about skidding. I worried about Walter. William worried about that farmer making trouble, and Beatrix just laughed at him.
I can't shoot blanks all the time, will he?
I thought taking firearms to dances was illegal in England.
Well, this is a life, isn't it?
A solicitor, my solicitor, Mother. It isn't possible. You must retreat to look after your father and me. It is your duty to stay in London and care for us in our old age.
I'll look after you and not marry a solicitor.
I'm 46 years old.
Your father is 80 years old. I'm 73 years old. You will not marry a solicitor.
I will marry this solicitor!
Oh, Willie, this is a life! Well, here we are, Castle Cottage. Walter will drive you to the inn. But come on, William. I'll see you in the morning before you leave, Mr. McKay. We might be able to arrange something.
Well, sure thing, Beatrix, sure thing.
Good night, Miss Warboys. Come to see me tomorrow.
Really?
Go in, Willie. I'll stay out for a minute.
It's very cold, Bee.
I'll be all right.
Well, don't be long. I mean it.
Old brown owl. As I walked by myself, I talked to myself, and myself said unto me, frost at midnight in the lake country. It's worth fighting for. It's been a hard fight. Norman died, and Father died, and Bertie died, and she died. Or did old Brown Owl just pinch her tail? What if she isn't really dead? Could she do it again? What the lazy is she? Willie!
look as if you've seen a ghost.
I'm looking for one. Oh, you turn that wretched thing off. Oh, I have it on. You don't listen to it. You know I hate it.
You're tired. Now, come and sit down. I'll make us a pot of tea.
I am tired. Oh, what's happening to me, Willie?
Well, those two disturbed you, that's all.
They're still hunting Beatrix Potter. They're like hounds after a fox. Where did she go?
She didn't go anywhere. You turned your back on her.
But why did I?
Because you didn't need her anymore. You became happy with me.
I lost her anyway.
I don't think she's far. You'll find her again if you want to.
With these eyes?
Wear spectacles.
Spectacles? Oh, thank God for you, Willie Healis. You don't even know what I'm talking about.
You think not? Come shooting with me tomorrow.
You know I won't shoot. Anyway, I have plans for tomorrow. That girl wants to know what makes me tick. And she's going to get more than she bargained for.
Be careful with her. It isn't her fault that she reminds
you. I wasn't prepared for her, Willie. Or for him. He wants a book.
Will you give it to him?
It's up to Beatrix Potter. What do you think she'll do?
I don't know, Bea. I don't know anything about it. You've kept me out of all that.
Does it matter?
Well, of course it matters. Because you've hidden it from me quite deliberately. I know more about the other side of the moon than I do about that side of your life. You're so secretive about
it. It's of no interest.
Isn't it? You should let me be the judge of that.
We're all right, as we are.
Well, you might be.
William, are you too surely?
How do you know? You don't ask, and I don't say.
I don't understand you.
I'll explain. We live where you want us to live, don't we? We live the way you want. I'm the man I am because you made it plain this is the way you want me to be, and I wanted to please you. Quiet, gentle, steady Willie Healis. And what's the result? An old bull with his horns chopped off. That's what you said.
I was joking.
Were you?
There's something behind this.
Yes, there is. Beatrix Potter and Alexander McKay and Norman Warne.
Norman?
Two book publishers, one American and Brash's Music Hall, and the other English and Dead. Both of them stir you up as I've never done.
Oh, Willie. Willie, this is ridiculous.
Well, maybe it is, but it's the way I feel, and it's time you knew. Now I'll put the kettle on.
Willie?
Yeah?
Nothing. Oh, to hell with it.
That's my bee.
So, goodbye, Mr. McKay.
Surely it's Alexander now.
Alexander.
All right. I'll draw up a contract.
Here's your £100 back.
Oh, keep it. There'll be a lot more to follow.
The new book won't be the same, you know. It won't be like the old stuff.
Whatever you want it to be.
It will be what I can do.
You can do whatever you want.
You have great faith.
Here's a suggestion. Sally says the old books were really about Beatrix Potter. Let the new book be about Bea Healis.
That would be far too revealing. But we'll see. Goodbye, Mr. McKay.
Alexander.
Alexander. Quickly, girl. We have a lot to do.
Are we going somewhere?
Yes.
But I wanted to show you the drawings.
You have shown me your drawings.
I haven't.
You left them in the parlor last night where I couldn't fail to find them.
Oh, yes. And you looked at them.
One or two.
And?
You can't draw animals. They're artificial.
Oh, I see. Well, I know I haven't your magic yet, but, well, that's why I came.
I won't have it in a million years. They're simply dead. You can't draw animals because you don't know animals. But you can draw people.
I can?
With Beatrix Potter, it was the other way about. She couldn't draw people because she didn't know people.
Why do you talk about her as if she was somebody else?
Do you want to come or not?
Yes, but...
Then get in the car and shut up. Right, Walter. Let's go. Stop at Mrs. Potter's on the way. Mother, this is Sally Warboys. I'm taking her up to Troutbeck.
I have a headache this morning.
Please, listen, I haven't time.
You never have time.
Not like you. But you have nothing to do. You've never had anything to do in your life. My mother embroiders in the morning, lunches at one, drives out in the afternoon every day.
Your boots are dirty.
They are working boots. I work.
You weren't raised a skivvy like a common labourer. You had a privileged upbringing.
Privileged?
Neither you nor Bertram appreciated what your father and I did for you.
What was there to appreciate? You drove Bertie to drink on an early grave?
That is unfair.
And you drove me to fantasy.
Huh? You've always been fantastic, Beatrix. Rabbits and mice were all you...
They'd forgotten I was there. They faced up to each other like gladiators. Wounding, hating. They looked so different. Mrs. Potter, rich and elegant. And Mrs. Healess, in an old bonnet and dowdy clothes like a poor countryman's wife. Suddenly she turned to me, her face white.
That's quite enough of my mother for one day. Let's get some fresh air.
I don't like you, Beatrix. I never did.
Driving out of Windermere, Mrs. Healess was quiet. But as soon as we got into the hills, she started to smile and to talk to me.
We're going to Troutbeck Park Farm. When I bought it 4 years ago, it made me a real Lake District property owner. Someone to be reckoned with in these parts. An off-comer and a woman. It was two in the eye for the local gentry. The park has over 2,000 acres and hundreds of Herdwick sheep. Hundreds, hundreds. Yet 4 years ago, the place was falling to bits and the sheep were infested with maggots. Not anymore.
You love it here, don't you?
Love? These hills stop me going mad. All this is my land. The whole valley and up Troutbeck Tongue and these heights.
So those sheep are yours?
Every one. Not bad for a rabbit, writer.
Yes, the books. How did you...
I spend whole days alone on these hills. Bread and cheese under a boulder for lunch. You wanted to know about Beatrix Potter. I'm telling you about Beatrix Healess. I'm a North Country farmer, Miss Warboys. I know about sheep and I know about old furniture and old china. I like hills and I like animals. And that's it.
I could imagine her up in that wilderness. This short, heavy woman, plodding like one of her own sheep across the bare fells. Her coat soaked with rain. It was raining now as we left the Kirkston Road and crawled along the valley track to the farm. We stopped outside a white farmhouse. A man came out of the house with some children.
Wait here. I shan't be long.
When Mrs. Healess got out the car, the children ran away. The man seemed nervous of her. He shuffled his feet as they talked about dosing sheep and planting trees. He wanted some repairs done in the shippens, but she wasn't having that. He told them to do them himself. She grumbled about the price of the things. And when he said they had a plague of rabbits, she told him to get a gun and shoot them. There was a streak of hardness in it. He couldn't say they were friends. I thought she probably didn't have many friends. Then just when I thought they were going to fly at each other, the farmer gave in and grinned sheepishly. And Mrs. Healess smiled and they shook hands. She came back looking pleased with herself and dripping with rain.
Right, young woman, out you get. We're going for a walk.
In this?
Rain won't kill you. Put these on.
She gave me an oilskin and a rain hat and boots. She grabbed a haversack, and we set off to climb Troutbeck Tongue and the steep slopes of the fells. We looked like a pair of tramps. She walked me nearly to death.
I like to wander this fell, whatever the weather. Feels home here. Never lonely. Always sheep for company, and the sound of streams.
And voices in your head.
What did you say?
I wonder you don't catch pneumonia.
I expect I'll suffer eventually. I get rheumatism now. But, oh, this is such country.
Oh!
Where are you going?
Help me!
Grab hold of that rock.
Oh.
Take my hat. Right.
Come on, I've got you.
Oh, silly to go sliding about.
Oh, I could have been killed. It's hundreds of feet.
Something would have broken your fall.
Once I saw a cow toboggan down this hill on her back with all four legs in the air, and she flew all the way down into the beck at the bottom, nearly drowned herself.
She's a cow.
Use the rocks as stepping stones.
They're a long way apart. They're covered in moss. And they're slimy. Ow!
I didn't fall down the mountain, and I didn't drown in the river. So she tried to walk me off my feet. On and on, up and up, hunched and squat and relentless above me on the fell. Never minding the rain or the wind, never caring about the cold that paralysed my legs. I knew what she was doing. She was showing me that she could still do at 61 what I couldn't do at 21. She was taking revenge, and I hated her again.
That sheep's in trouble.
Where?
Follow my finger. Among the rocks. See it? Huh? It's crag fast. If it doesn't get help, it'll die of starvation.
But it's only a narrow ledge. And the drop is enormous.
Oh, wait there, then.
I could have. I could have rested. But I wouldn't give her the satisfaction. So I followed her, crawling over rock and shale to rescue a stupid sheep that had got itself stuck. The rock had crumbled behind it, so it couldn't get back. It must have been there for days. Any grass within reach was cropped to the bone. Mrs. Healis leaned over and grabbed it by the scruff. I held her legs, and little by little, in that driving rain, we hauled it back. When she let it go, it ran off shouting, and Mrs. Healis laughed her head off.
We'll make a countrywoman of you, yeah.
How did you get it to keep still?
I can tame any animal. I had a pet pig once called Sally. I'd shout, "Sally, Sally," and she'd come trotting after me.
Oh, I shan't do that.
I thought that was what you wanted.
Not anymore.
Let's have lunch.
She took me to a place called High Buildings, a stone shelter the shepherd used in lambing time. Kept out some of the rain and a bit of wind, and we sat on damp stones and ate dry bread and cheese. It was the worst meal I'd ever eaten, worse than home in the hardest times. I couldn't believe I was having it with the woman who'd once produced the words and pictures that have transformed my life. Then the old Beatrix Potter appeared, out of nowhere.
Above the sun was a patch of green grass growing among a waste of stones, with a stunted thorn in the middle. Once, round and round the tree, cantering as if they were in a circus, I saw four wild fell ponies. They checked and turned and went this way and that, looking like circus horses with their arched necks and dainty hooves and their manes tossing and tails streaming. I looked for the circus master, but he wasn't visible.
Gosh.
Another time, on a soft, muddy spot on the old Drove Road, I saw unshod footprints that were too small for horses' footmarks and too round for deer or sheep. I looked for that circus master again, but again, he wasn't to be seen. They were footmarks of a troop of fairy riders.
Fairy caravan?
Yes. Yes, a fairy caravan. But animals are animals are animals are animals.
Oh, no. Oh, doesn't it depend on how you look at them? Once you saw Mrs. Tickywinkle in a hedgehog.
I was desperate.
You were marvellous.
Now I prefer the hedgehog.
That's such a loss.
It'll happen to you.
Not if I can help it.
Oh, the confidence of you. You don't know. You can't know. She didn't know either. She thought she did. She thought she knew everything. She thought all she had to do was close her eyes and those creatures would spring into life. And they did. But then, when she stopped looking for them, they wouldn't let her alone. They haunted her. They tormented her, taking revenge because she had deserted them. And as if that wasn't bad enough, out of the blue, an American publisher swoops into Tory, wanting new creatures. And a girl comes striding out of her mill, accusing me, pointing the finger, making me responsible.
Why are you telling me this?
Because you remind me of somebody. Oh. You're cold. Go on down.
I'm all right.
Go on. This is my world, not yours. Ask Walter to take you back to Sori and then come back for me. You can't get lost. It's downhill all the way.
What about you?
I'll stay here. I need to think. This is a good place for thinking. Not too crowded.
I will then.
You haven't got what you came for, have you?
Maybe I have.
Been an education, has it?
Oh, yes.
Find your own world to conquer and bear children.
That's no answer.
What is?
Fuck! Rain! Mud! Filth! And he calls it paradise! She's mad with her dancing horses, goblin footprints, and sliding cardinal! Stop! Stop! Oh, we should never come here! Oh, we should never met her! Oh, we should have met at the dance!
Norman. Norman.
I'm always here, Petey. I thought you'd forgotten me.
I never forget.
You've forgotten her.
I've mislaid her, that's all. Help me find her, Norman. I'm going to write a new book.
You can't go back.
I have to go back.
Forget her.
I need her.
Forget me, then.
Yes, I must. For Willie. But what do I write about?
What's the matter with you? Your life is full of animals, guinea pigs, sheep.
Cows.
Tots, cats.
Pigs, hens, cockerels. And this country, this amazing country.
Exactly. So turn out your desk, ransack your portfolios.
What about those queer ponies and the footprints?
A fairy caravan.
Over the hills and far away in a fairy caravan.
Write it down, Beatty, write it down.
I will!
When I went to say goodbye, I found Mrs. Healus on the floor, drawers and cupboards open everywhere. She was diving among books and scribblings and dredging up half-finished drawings. She looked as if she was hunting for pearls.
I'm busy.
You started the book?
Just for the money to buy some land.
I think it's more than that.
What do you know about it?
Nothing. I came to say goodbye.
What are you going to do?
Something else.
Oh, not books for children.
No.
You've changed.
So have you.
So has William. You'll go back to that mill and the smoke and machinery?
It's empty here. I don't like it.
One place suits one person, another place suits another person.
That's from Johnny Townmouse.
The last story she wrote, 9 years ago.
Now there'll be another.
Won't be her, though. This time it will be me. I may need help with the illustrations.
Are you asking me? You said I couldn't draw animals.
You could help with the colours.
I don't think so.
Why?
You.
I see.
No, you don't. You've given me what I came for. It isn't what I expected. You've opened my eyes. I was looking for magic, and you've shown me where to find it. In real things.
Real things?
Like this farm. The animals and muck and rain.
You think there's magic in muck?
For you there is. Well, it will be in Lancaster too, won't it? In those streets. If I look for it. So, I'm going back to the mill. I'm going to carry on training and I'm going to be an art teacher. And while I'm doing that, I'll look everywhere and I'll draw everything. I'll paint real things and real people. I'm good at people.
Your world?
Yes.
Go on then. Go forward. Show everybody what you're made of. And I'll go backwards into something I thought I'd left forever. And I'll show Beatrix Potter what a Healus can do.
What about Alexander?
Alexander McKay got exactly what he came for. Goodbye, Sally Warboys.
Goodbye, Mrs. Healus. I enjoyed the dance.
It's all a dance. Ask Willie.
She might have wished me luck, but she was already writing that book in her head.
In the land of green ginger, there is a town called Marmalade, which is inhabited exclusively by guinea pigs. They are of all colours.
She was writing a bigger book than anything Beatrix Potter had done, joining up pictures and stories and fancies she'd dreamed up over her years as Mrs. Healis. Tuppenny, her long-haired guinea pig, was in it, and her dogs and her pony and the dog next door and her sheep and her hens and her cockerels. Everybody was invited. It was like Noah's Ark. She glued their stories together with the fairy caravan, a little circus of animals invisible to people that travelled about the sorry country and performed to other animals they passed on the road.
Dear Mr. McKay, the idea for the book is progressing. We will see how it turns out, but I think it will be all right. This time, words will be more important than pictures, partly because I can no longer see to paint properly. But my aim, as always, will be to create that pleasant, unchanging world of realism and romance, which in our northern clime is stiffened by hard weather, a tough ancestry, and the strength that comes from the hills. And if the book helps to save a lovely stretch of mountain and valley from desecration, well, that will be a real fairy tale, won't it? I wonder what it's like in Philadelphia at Christmas. Here we have shocking weather, but the stock is under cover, except the sheep, and they can get down to the woods. The fells are very white, and that tiny caravan is wheeling across the winter countryside. With best wishes for Christmas and New Year, yours truly, Beatrix Healis.
All that winter, in the evenings when the day's work was done, Mrs. Healis worked by candlelight on the fairy caravan. Sometimes she worked at Hilltop to show Beatrix Potter that Mrs. Healis could still do it. But her imagination rusted. Her eyes ached. The old discipline to prune and sharpen and polish had gone. And every day, real life got in the way.
I have just come in after a rough 2 hours search in the snow for some sheep. Somehow, when one is up to the eyes in work with real animals, it makes one despise paper book animals.
But still she wrote. She drew. Slowly the book started to come together. Then spring arrived.
All my spare time last winter I was working at this story. But now lambing time has come and all the spring work and various disappointments and annoyances, and I am out of tune and cross. I have no time to finish the adventures of the caravan. The wanderings of that circus company go on and on without end.
Eve, where are you? Come out of that book!
And William's patience is wearing very thin.
All spring and summer and autumn, the creatures haunted us.
I am turning whimsical. The stories grow more and more peculiar. I wonder what makes me spin such strange spider webs. I cannot judge the book. Sometimes I think parts of it are really fine. Other times I think it is dreadful rubbish. What has happened to me?
She returned to the book the following winter, and the journey began again. Then on February 20th, 1929, she wrote to Philadelphia,
"Dear Mr. McKay, here at last is the fairy caravan. I hope to goodness it is tolerable. Do you know the old rhyme? As I walked by myself, I talked to myself, and myself said unto me. Well, through the changing seasons, these tales have walked and talked with me. They are such a part of me now that I feel I don't want them printed at all."
The Fairy Caravan was published in America in October 1929. Parts of it were all right, but it was obvious to everybody that it wasn't another Peter Rabbit or Jemima Puddle Duck or Samuel Whiskers or Piglin Bland. Mrs. Healers had been right all along. Beatrix Potter had died and was buried at Hilltop Farm. The fairy caravan was just a rambling adventure cobbled up from her leftovers.
Who cares? As long as it pleases my shepherds and the blacksmith, I don't care tuppence for anybody else's opinion.
I might have felt sorry for her, but she wasn't a person you felt sorry for. After all, she'd written those marvellous little books, and then she'd turned her back and jumped into a new life like a rabbit down a hole. And with this new book, she was able to buy that land at Coniston and make a dream come true. And she hadn't been very nice to me. Then she wrote me a letter.
Dear Miss Warboys, everything is balanced. You gain something, you lose something. I hope you are gaining. I fear I am losing. Slowly. That makes me fight harder. I found that when I was writing The Fairy Caravan, my best work had gone out of me. But I wrote it nevertheless. I wouldn't change anything. Beatrix Potter is becoming a real farmer.
Ah! Beep! Success!
And William... well, William is turning out to be a surprise. Those creatures still haunt me, but I ignore them. Animals are animals are animals are animals. And I don't go to Hilltop much. The real business of my life is elsewhere now, with William. This is as nearly perfect a little place as I ever lived in. And I thank God I have the seeing eye, so that when I get too old to walk on the beloved hills, I shall be able to remember every rock and stone and stick. Perhaps you will find your paradise. And if you want to continue as an artist, it might be as well if you didn't. I speak from experience. Yours sincerely, Beatrix Healers.
I thought her own life had turned out to be a kind of fairy tale, where everything came right in the end. And at Lancaster, over the years, when things weren't going right for me, I'd picture her walking about her farms or tramping the fells like a baggy old sheep needing a good shearing. And that would give me hope too. Then I read that she died on Wednesday, 22nd of December, 1943. She was 77 years old. The announcement said, cremation private. No mourning, no flowers, no letters. I thought, that's her, exactly. She's turned her back and gone down another rabbit hole. In her will, she left 15 farms and over 4,000 acres to the National Trust. Hilltop was to stay exactly as it was, empty, without a tenant. Maybe she thought she might need it again. In the spring, I went back to Sawley, and I climbed a hill above Moss Eccles Tarn where I saw her, writing while William fished for trout. In the middle of the tarn on an island, a swan had made its nest. And everywhere you looked, there were her lambs.
One place suits one person, another place suits another person. For my part, I prefer to live in the country, like Timmy Willie.
In Meeting Bee by Eric Pringle, Stephanie Cole played Beatrix Potter, Clive Swift, William Healers, Ed Bishop, Alexander McKay, and Caroline Strong, Sally Warboys. Irene Sutcliffe played Mrs. Potter, John Church, Norman Warne, Lloyd Johnson, Tom Story, Jonathan Adams, Matson, John Webb, Joseph, Federer Holmes, young Beatrix, and James Telfer, Bertram. Other parts were played by Melanie Hudson and Jill Graham. The play was directed by Adrian Bean.